You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live: to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And welcome to Wednesday Live. So glad that you are joining us today. And we're getting all of our microphones set up here, so we have all the important people on the air. That's the plan.
Thank you for that.
That's the plan. David is on the air.
I am truly on the air.
And we're glad that you're on the air. Do you feel light?
I wish I could say that I did, but no.
You don't. Okay. No. You don't really feel that way. Okay.
But I feel good.
You feel good? This is a beautiful day, and we have some great things coming up. We are going to be giving away some awesome children's Bibles from Zondervan, and Karen's going to tell us about that in just a moment. We actually have three to give away. These would be an incredible gift to a student that's getting ready to go into school. And of course, you probably have heard some of the promo spots for that. It is a beautiful Bible in color, and it's I don't know, the back of the Bible says it's $34.99.
That's the MSRP, you know.
That's the MSRP, yeah. Right. So you can actually, I think my wife found this same one for about $28, maybe on CBD or one of those. But still, it's a very high quality NIV Bible, so she's going to tell us about that in just a moment. We also have some, maybe local news. I don't know. We might have a little. I don't think we had a whole lot of mail this David has something interesting. It's a little different. He's going to share with us. Yep. And I want to just mention this 11 o'clock hour is brought to you in part by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. And we want to lift up for pastors. This is for senior pastors, a life planning seminar. It's going to be presented by our executive director from the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, Chris Fogle, and he is a certified CPA. And the question has to do with getting our affairs in order. Are your affairs in order? And this is something that as pastors we need to talk about. Because it's very important that we not only get our soul ready, but also that we get our finances and our family planning together. And what a great event. It's going to be on the 19th, Friday the 19th. That's August. Friday, August the 19th, 8:30 to 10 a.m. And this will be at the Hazley Reception Center, 3015 Okeechobee Road, Fort Pierce, Florida. And if you didn't get all of that, you can call the station back, and Karen will probably be happy to give that number out in just a moment. But this is a life planning seminar for pastors, senior pastors, and this is going to be presented by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance and by CPA. Chris Fogle. All right, Karen, you have some information on the Bible that we have available to give away. This would be a great gift from grandparents, from parents. So let's see what we have.
Yes. Do you ever wonder how to get kids excited about reading the Bible? The best-selling NIV Adventure Bible, published by Zondrakids, is the solution. Captivate kids with full-color features that make reading the Bible engaging and fun. We have a free copy of the NIV Adventure Bible to give away right now by calling our studio at 888-221-8990. And you can also go to adventurebible.com to learn more about this Bible.
Very good. And the first three callers, we have three copies of this Adventure Bible. And the first three callers that call us will have access to this great Bible. And you might want to order it for someone in your own family. Maybe you're a parent, and it would be a great Bible, a great devotional Bible for you to use in your home. So if you're a parent, it would be great. It is nicely colored throughout. It definitely will suck a kid into it. It addresses things such as life in Bible times, words to treasure, did you know, people in the Bible, and living it. And I like this part of this Bible. When you open it up, right in the front of the Bible, there is how to know you are a Christian. And it starts out with the ABCs. Admit honestly to God that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and died on the cross and became alive again. And C, confess your faith in Jesus Christ. This is a great Bible. It's a great gift being brought to you. Compliments from Zondervan and your good news station, WCNO, Amen. Palm City, Florida. And so the first three people that call us and make a request, we will send this Bible out to you free of charge, and so we'll cover the cost of shipping on that as well. We do have something interesting, David. Share with us what you have. I mean, it makes me a little hungry looking at the pictures. Pictures can tell a thousand words.
They can, and they can also stimulate saliva glands, which this one does.
Right, can do all of that.
We have a dear friend, listener, Marilee in Vero Beach. And she sent, I think, along with a donation, but she also sent us a recipe card for apple pie bites.
Apple pie bites.
Apple pie. Now, I've had not this particular recipe, but I've had those before, and they are fresh out of the oven with a cup of hot coffee. Just the most interesting. And Marilee, I have to tell you that it's going to be hard for us, being live on the air, looking at this, to be able to talk properly with having to swallow so much. But
David, I have the hot coffee right here with me.
And I have some too, right? You'll notice so, right here.
I mean, what kind of ingredients do we need? I mean, can we put this together on air?
Yes. Okay. Here's, if you have a pen and a piece
here's
of paper.
Here's a test. What would be in a apple bite?
Well, first of all, the biggest ingredient is apples.
Apples. That makes sense. Yay! Even I could get that. Karen, you would know that, right?
She would know that, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And I cook, too, you know.
Being
the
big chef that I am.
You are on air, right, Karen? Yeah, the big chef that you are. Yes, you. Karen purchased some kind of a cake for me on my... Did you purchase that?
Yes.
What was that?
Chocolate ganache.
I'm sorry. We're talking about apples right
That's
now.
That's okay. Well,
you know, apples is
diver.
Good, too.
If people want to make the recipe, make this today and maybe bring some by the station this afternoon.
Sure.
Okay.
So, just suggesting, right, Dave?
You need one half of a 7.3-ounce package of frozen puff pastry sheets. All right.
I don't know
thawed.
What those are.
Okay. Thawed is important. It's
thawed.
A, you know,
pastry?
This, you make, like, if you're doing Greek recipes with the... I think it's the, or I forget what the name of the, phyllo dough.
Phyllo dough.
It doesn't say that, but I'm just guessing. But there's also puff pastry sheets.
Okay.
Okay. And then you need a cup and a half finely chopped apples, peeled if desired, but you don't have to peel them.
I like mine peeled.
I like mine. That's appealing for me. Anyway.
And get rid of the seeds.
Get rid of the seeds. Yeah, they're really deadly. If you don't want to eat the seeds.
I heard that.
And then 2 teaspoons of sugar. Quarter cup of ground cinnamon, very ground. You grow, well, you can buy it ground. or you can grind it yourself. 10 vanilla caramels unwrapped, which I guess is a good idea. <That's> a good... That plastic, when the heat gets to it, it just...
That so, might not be good.
And then 3 tablespoons of heavy cream, and then chopped toasted pecans and sea salt flakes.
Mm.
And then
it does sound good.
Yes.
It does, and then, of course...
But there's not much sugar in it.
Two teaspoons of sugar. Only two. Yeah.
Huh.
But your apple has some sweet to it.
Oh, okay.
You know, and but you don't want to get overly sugared, you know, especially if you're diabetic, you know. No, well, maybe you do. I don't
have sugar in my coffee, so that helps, you know.
Anyway, so, you know, we probably ought to...
Hmm? That simple?
Well,
do you bake it?
You do. You set your preheat your oven to 400 degrees.
Okay. We don't have that here.
No.
No, we've got microwave, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to convert that.
I don't believe they want you to microwave it.
No.
No, that wouldn't be good.
On a lightly floured surface, unfold the puff pastry sheet, which, again, is always a good idea. Roll pastry into a 15 by 10 inch rectangle. Now, if any of you went in the early years in school, you'd know what a rectangle is.
Uh-huh. So it's not a triangle.
No. That's when you do the croissant, a whole different type of cookie.
A whole different thing. Yeah.
Cut into 24 2.5-inch squares.
Oh, so it's 24.
You make 24
out
of this. Yeah.
Wow. That's good.
Fit
Hence,
each square.
They're called bites.
What
bites?
Well, that's what they're called, bites.
Yeah.
It's
right. You know.
That's why. That's why you cut them in 24.
So you're probably going to have more than
someone's
one.
Praying for us right now, saying WCNO. Yeah.
Do
you
not
know,
let us. We
were
looking for you.
Deeper things of God.
Now, this is important. You have to bring certain things together.
Okay.
Okay, you have to stir together the apples, the sugar, and the cinnamon. You spoon it into pastry-lined muffin cups. Bake about 15 minutes or until pastry is golden.
Ah, yes.
Cool. Now, you got to cool it, too. 5 minutes in the pan that you baked it in, and then carefully remove bites from the pan. And I suppose because some of them like to stay in the pan.
Maybe.
You want this thing to be recognizable. Meanwhile, while all that's happening, you heat and stir the caramels and cream over very low heat until melted and smooth. Drizzle bites with caramel sauce and sprinkle with pecan. Sprinkle lightly with sea salt. Serve immediately.
Man,
I'll tell you what.
I wonder if Ma and Paul have
that.
This recipe.
Ma's a good cook.
She's a good cook, yeah.
You know, Pa likes to grill.
Oh, so that's
Ma's a good cook.
This would not work well on a grill.
I don't think so.
But I have noticed that they do pizzas, and, you know, pizzas are cooked on grills. A lot of things are cooked on grills. But
yeah.
This came from one of our wonderful listeners. What's her name again?
Mary Lee
in Vero Beach. Thank you, Mary Lee, for all of that. And even though it, you know, we don't actually have one to sample or to give away to our drive-by listeners. our mouths have watered thinking about it, and it's quite delightful. What do you think, Karen? You going to try that, maybe?
Well, it looks simple enough for me.
To try it out?
Yeah.
It's just...
If there's more than 5 ingredients, I'm kind of lost.
Desserts, you have to be careful. And because this is puff pastry, it can be delicate. You have to make sure that the heat is applied just right, because if it's too much heat, it quickly will brown up, and you don't want, you know, visually.
Oh, so you're saying you could burn
it. Yes. Yeah, I've cooked. I did a pan of baklava one time with the phyllo dough.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I like
baklava. Oh, man, I'm telling you, you need an engineering degree to get this stuff right. But I was able, by the grace of God, I think, because my wife was looking at me and saying, if this doesn't come out right, you're in trouble. And so, but it did. It was wonderful.
Came out really?
Wow. And phyllo dough is great because it's layers and layers of very thin dough.
Now, Karen, we wouldn't know this firsthand unless David brought us some baklava, would we?
You mean I'm going to have to?
Do you put honey?
Yes, honey is and chopped walnuts and
on top. Yeah.
Cinnamon, of course, is a very important aspect of that.
Yeah, that's
all right. You've got good. Are you going to put a challenge before me to come out with a tray of baklava?
No, but I don't know if we had any calls on the Bible yet. Do we know if we had any calls? We had some.
The phone was phone ringing.
But we're going to need to be kept updated
Sherry
on that
is
because
Sherry is here.
We started with three. We now have, let's see what we have. Okay, so I think there's something that, Karen, you're going to read for us now.
Yes, we want to say congratulations to Sean, who just won a free copy of the best-selling NIV Adventure Bible, published by Zonderkids. Go to adventurebible.com to learn more today. And he called in to get one of these for his grandson. And Sean's in Vero Beach.
Wow, that's awesome.
Amen.
That is awesome. So we still have two Bibles left. Mm-hmm. And so if you would like to have one of these Adventure Bibles for your child, school is coming up, and that is the emphasis. And we were encouraged to make those available this week. And that's so right. That's what we're doing. I believe some students are already back to school. And so we definitely want to lift that up in prayer. David, why don't you lead us in a moment of prayer for our families and our students and for our kids to bring Jesus with them as they go into the classroom this year.
Yes, Lord. And Father, we do come before you, as school comes back into session. And that's all kinds of proper schooling. That's public school. That's parochial Christian education and homeschooling. And Father, we just lift all those students up to you and all those who'll be teaching them. And Father, we pray that you open, incite and inspire their hearts to learn and to learn those things which are godly really important for life. We pray at the same time, Lord, that you move to stand in the way of those things that are not godly, that are being forced on some of our students.
Yeah.
And we ask, Lord, that you would enrich all learning environments with not just a passion to learn, but a particular focus on those things that you know are life-giving, Lord, that touch and shape and form our lives from an early age. And we pray that as we pray for the students in schools, we also pray for their parents, Father. We pray, Lord, that parents would be excited and incited to focus on godly learning as well, and to take a stand in public when the schools that their children are going to are taking them in the wrong direction. Lord, we pray they stand firm before all the authorities, all the entities that manage and provide leadership in those institutions. Father, that there be a consistency and a quality in the education, Lord, and that will touch not just their minds, Father, not just their spirits, but their hearts as well. And for this, we also pray for the teachers. Lord, so many of them are trapped in those systems that they are forced to be in, and they do the best they can. And they need freedom, Father. They need room to move and grow and to do the things that they were called to do. And we pray, Lord, for the teachers then, that you would bless them and give them insight and wisdom and the strength of your spirit to stand for truth.
Amen.
And we just give you praise and thanks, Lord God, for you are working a holy change in the way our children learn. And we declare this into our land today, not just state of Florida, but all the states and territories of this United States, in Jesus' name. Amen. And there we go.
Celebrate back to school season with the best-selling NIV Adventure Bible published by Zonderkids. Kids will be captivated with full-color features that'll make reading the Bible and memorizing their favorite verses engaging and fun. Most importantly, they'll grow closer in their relationship with God. Over 10 million copies of the Adventure Bible have been sold, and it's recommended by more Christian schools and churches than any other Bible for kids. Embark on a fun, exciting journey through God's Word at adventurebible.com.
All right, and Karen, we have two Bibles left, and so why don't you open it up for the second giveaway, and then we're going to see if we can get Mom and Paul in here.
I'll bet you can.
That's right. Do you ever wonder how to get your kids excited about reading the Bible? The best-selling NIV Adventure Bible, published by Zonder Kids, is the solution. Captivate kids with full-color features that make reading the Bible engaging and fun. We have two free copies of the NIV Adventure Bible to give away right now to those of you that call in to the studio at 888-221-8990 and go to adventurebible.com to learn more today.
Very good. Very good. So two Bibles left, and give us a call. Be a great back-to-school gift from a parent to their child. Be a great devotional gift for a family to utilize for your family in evening devotions, or it would be a great gift from a grandparent to a child. Maybe you know a child that is having a birthday coming up here. This would be a great, great gift. And the back of the Bible, I think the manufacturer's suggested price is a little higher. You might be able to find one maybe close to $20-$28, something like that. But we have two copies available, and we'll cover the full cost of shipping it out to you. And Zondervan Zondervan Company has made this available to us today. So give us a call, 888-221-8990. We just have two left to go.
What age group do you think this is good for?
You know, this strikes me as a middle school.
Yeah.
You know, maybe later elementary.
Years,
but if, yeah, but if you were going to do it as a devotional book, I would use that even for toddlers. It would be a great devotional Bible to read along with toddlers. Sure, where you're reading it to the kids. And I've always done this with my children when they were young. Would not only have a Bible that we went through, or a Bible storybook when they were extremely young, or else, and often in addition to that, I would have maybe stories of great Christians and things like that, missionaries and such forth, that I would bring in and share with the kids. And many nights, our reading time would go from 10 minutes, if it was early enough, maybe to an hour, and maybe even longer. And so one of my awesome memories with both of my boys is that Mom and Dad, we came together as a family, but then I hung out with my sons and read to them whatever they wanted to read after we'd had our devotions, and we had some wonderful, rich times together doing that. Well, when friends move away, hey, Mom, Paul, great to have you in the studio. When friends,
good to be here.
Good to be here. You know, when friends move away, it's easy to lose touch with them. Probably some of our listeners relate to that. Maybe the phone calls and letters come more frequently in the beginning, but in time, folks get on with their lives. Mom and Paul had some very close friends who moved out of state several years ago. They had known each other for over two decades, and it was a very emotional time when they left. In a few years, their contracts were limited to Christmas cards, their contacts. But today, Paul received a phone call that brought several poignant memories in his mind and heart, and he has the unenviable task of sharing the news with Ma.
Hey, Ma, you got a minute?
Yeah, I believe I do. Let me just sit down right here. Okay, what's on your mind?
Well, you remember old Silas Micklebeck, don't you?
Land sakes, I sure do. Why, he and Loretta were our best friends for the longest time. What's going on with him?
Ma, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but old Silas died a couple days ago. I just got off the phone with his son, Aloysius.
Oh, no. Oh, Pa, that's terrible. I was hoping we might go to visit them this fall. I had even called Loretta a week ago to see when it would be a good time for them. She didn't say anything about Silas being sick.
Oh, he weren't sick, Ma. He had an accident. He was riding his bike next to the highway, and some drunk hit him. Aloysius said he died instantly.
Oh, Pa, I am so sorry. You and Silas were the best of friends. Most folks thought you were brothers.
Yeah, that's true. And we sure got into some trouble, didn't we?
Oh, you were both blessed that you didn't get seriously injured with some of the antics you guys did.
You know, I remember the time me and old Silas decided to take a swim in the town water tower. It was one of them real hot Florida afternoons. The health department had said not to swim in the lakes because of some bacteria in the water. So we went downtown looking to get into an air-conditioned store. When Silas spied the water tower, he said, "Let's go for a swim in there."
Oh, yeah. I remember that one, Pa. You were like little kids instead of grown-up men who should have known better. You climbed all the way up to the walkway around the tower, took your clothes off, jumped in through an access door.
You know, I still believe that the basic idea was sound, Ma.
Yeah, except for the fact that the tower had been drained for cleaning and you both landed hard on the bottom. If it weren't for all that sand and other debris, you fellas would have broke some bones for sure.
Well, how could we know they drained the water? And also, how could we know that there were no handholds for us to get back up to the access door?
Yeah, and how could you know that a big wind would come up and blow all your clothes off the railing?
Yeah, that whole thing was just embarrassing. I mean, we yelled for 3 hours before someone heard us, and then another 2 hours before they figured out where our voices were coming from. At last, someone climbed up the tower and looked inside, and there we were on the bottom, all covered with dirt and slime.
Yeah, and those firemen came to save you. They got such a big laugh at your predicament. And, of course, the police didn't charge you with trespassing. They said something about comic relief after having a long week.
Well, you know, as horrible as that day was, it was dwarfed by what we did a few years later.
Oh, no, you're not talking about the Bickers Corner Stampede, are you?
That's the one, Ma. But, you know, it all started with a real innocent thing we did.
Pa, all your messed up adventures with old Silas started out innocently enough. At least that's always been part of your explanations.
Well, this one truly was. Now, we was out turkey hunting. It was the last day of the season, and we hadn't got one turkey. We were hunting near old Ellis Bledsoe's pasture. I was riding with Silas on his ATV, and he'd stopped because he thought he heard a turkey gobble, a good old Big Tom. And sure enough, there was a big one standing right next to the fence. Well, Silas got so excited, he took aim and let off a shot. He missed, and that old turkey flew up and over the fence. Then he took another shot, missed again, but blew apart the barbed wire.
Oh, if y'all had just stayed where you were, nothing untoward would have happened.
Well, true. But old Silas was now in the heat of a hunter's passion, Ma. His blood was up, and that old Tom Turkey had defied him twice. So he gunned the engine on that ATV, tore through the hole in the fence, and then he put on the brakes. I saw what he saw. Well, that old Tom Turkey was sitting on the hind end of a bull, just daring old Silas to take another shot. Well, you know, if he'd have been rational and not consumed by turkey fever, all would have been well.
But, of course, that wasn't the case.
Nope. Old Silas took a beat on that sassy turkey and let loose. When the smoke cleared, the turkey was flying south, gobbling up a storm, and the bull was bellowing with a rump full of birdshot.
And then things went from bad to worse.
Well, they sure did. That old bull was livid with anger, and he charged us on the ATV. Old Silas put on the gas, and he drove us across that pasture with the bull bringing up the rear. Well, we just rocketed across that lumpy pasture with us bouncing all around. I almost fell off twice. And we both got splattered, running through piles of manure. And then we got near the other side of the pasture, and it was clear we either had to turn around or crash through the fence. And old Silas wasn't about to turn around.
But how'd you get that ATV in yourselves through that barbed wire?
Well, when we started off to escape the bull, Silas had given me the shotgun and said to reload. I didn't know why at first, but when we got close to the fence, I figured it out. So I leaned forward with the barrel resting on Silas's shoulder,
and let loose all three rounds. Well, the wire parted, and we were through.
But you weren't safe yet.
Now, that bull was still chasing us, and all them cows were right behind the bull. And we got on the road, and we just kept on going straight into town, right down Main Street for the lunchtime rush hour.
Well, I remember the police chief said it took him 5 hours to straighten everything out. And that didn't include getting them cows back to the pasture and fixing the fence.
Yeah, it was a mess, all right. You know, Ma, old Silas and me did get into a little bit of trouble, but we had a whole lot of more good time fun, too. He was a good friend, more like a brother to me anyway, and I'll sure miss him.
Yeah, he was a good brother in Christ, too, wasn't he? I mean, he always volunteers for ministry at the church. He led more than one Bible study, and he was a real generous person when folks needed money.
That's true. So, you know, I guess we need to plan to attend his funeral next week. His son said it's going to be on Saturday. He'll be buried in the family plot right here in Bickers Corner. And then we're all invited for a reception at the Dinnertime restaurant down on Main Street. He said, I'd be especially interested in the entree they're going to serve.
Why is that, Paul?
They got a 25-pound tom turkey with all the trimmings. It seems like old Silas told that story of the stampede so many times that his family decided to give it a good ending.
Well, every life should have a good ending, and with Jesus Christ, every ending is a new beginning. If you have found that your life is just a turkey, now is the time to exchange it for the saving grace in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, 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 to all you hunters out there, Ma and Paul send their deepest love.
Right.
Amen. And I know what it is to go turkey hunting, and after, you know, an early morning and a half day in the woods, come walking out after not having seen a thing, hearing them all over the place, and then finding a hen with little chicks running around the vehicle, you know, and say, well, you know, they things just didn't work out quite right. Well, Karen, how many Bibles do we have left? Do we know? Oh, my. Let me see here. Okay, let's give these right to Karen. Karen knows what to do.
Okay, so we want to say congratulations to Angelita and to Michael, who just won free copies of the best-selling NIV Adventure Bible published by Zonderkids. Go to AdventureBible.com to learn more today. And Angelita's from Okeechobee. And she's getting it for one of her grandchildren. Mm. And Michael apparently has three grandchildren.
No. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Well, wonderful. They didn't last long, did they?
No, they didn't.
If you could check and see how many copies we have of A Tale of Three Kings, and I'm going to be reaching out to the author. Thank you so much, Ma and Paul. That was that was quite great. You know,
Paul's
always
getting into something.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And I was on the tail of that ATV, experiencing what was going on there. That was quite nice. That was quite nice. Well, we're going to shift gears a little bit here this morning. We have the author, Gene Edwards, has written in excess of 30 books. Perhaps one of the most popular books, A Tale of Three Kings, A Study in Brokenness, is going to join us on air. We're going to put a call out to him right now. And we do have at least one book, because I have one in my hand. And if you have never read this book, it is a great leadership book and would be a great blessing to you, to your pastor, or to any leader that you may know. And so I know we have at least one. And during the interview or at any time, you can call the station. Karen, what's the number again? What do we have? Two copies total. We have two copies.
And that number here is 888-221-8990.
We're going to play just a bit of this song because we believe this is what's coming on America. Not more of the enemy's plans, but we're looking for more of God's favor.
Amen.
Revival. Revival. Is there anyone out there believing God for revival?
Only
And we want to just say hallelujah. That song, Revival, is just a call to the body of Christ to know that that Jesus is still the answer. And in the midst of great darkness, there is still light. And so we're blessed to be a part of the kingdom. I want to welcome Gene Edwards with us on air. Gene, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
And I understand you were just telling me something about a birthday.
I am now 90 years old.
Amen.
And my thought with that was very simple. Helen and I both are 90, and neither one of us know anyone 90 years old but what they're confined to bed. Helen and I both woke up at 6 o'clock this morning and got up and went to it.
Praise God.
That's where we are, and we'll probably get in bed tonight around 10 o'clock.
Whoa!
Wow, that's a long day.
I can't wait till I'm 90 so I have that kind of energy.
Well, it's we can't explain it ourselves. We really, we don't know that we've done anything well, I guess we have done some things that were a little bit smarter than other people might have. Anyway, I'm looking forward to sharing something that I've never done before in my life, and that's to share speaking as a man 90 years old.
Awesome.
Knowing farewell that everybody listening to me probably is younger than I am.
Amen. And we're looking forward to hearing what that message is, Gene. I wanted to let you know that after talking with you the last time, even though I had read your book, The Tale of Three Kings, probably two, maybe three times prior, I was so moved by that conversation. You mentioned the importance of just dying, which I don't find very exciting to think about. But after our conversation, I ended up digging back through the book. I'd read it prior to our time on air, but I went back through it and spent several weeks sharing with our congregation about God's wonderful school of brokenness, and it has been a wonderful time for our congregation. And so I want to thank you for that. And I was on the air with a young man and his wife. They're opening up a small fellowship in Colorado, and was talking with them Sunday evening, and they asked, what would you recommend that we do at this time as we're getting ready to launch, I think, on the 24th of this month? And I said, have you ever read Gene Edwards' book, A Tale of Three Kings? And they had not. And I know enough about their life that I know they have sat under some spear throwers. And so I said, listen, I have a copy of A Tale of Three Kings, and I would like to send it out to you, and I would suggest that you just let the Holy Spirit minister to you, because now that you're going to be in a position of maybe lead pastor, you are going to be given an opportunity to choose how you're going to lead. And so I wanted to just thank you for making these copies available to us. We also mentioned it on air. We have two copies here at the station if somebody would like a copy of the book. But I want to thank you for opening your heart and sharing with us the power and importance of a broken life.
Amen. Okay. I appreciate your saying all of those kind words.
What is your message for us? A 90-year-old author. I read through about your father in the oil fields, and it sounds to me like you just never really saw yourself as a pastor in that sense, but you were used as an evangelist, right?
That's true. I was pastor for 2 years. It's not my calling.
Okay. Okay. And then the other thing that I noticed, and I don't think we talked about this last time on air at all, and it had to do with some of your, I guess, maybe frustrations with just church as it has been and is.
That's one of the things I would like to talk to your people
talk
about.
Talk to us.
Okay. There were three things right at this moment I can think of. Two. One of them is a life runs faster than you think it does. You think, well, I've got 80 years to live, or 70. And you think, well, 70 years, that'll be that long. No, 70 years actually will turn out to be only about 40 years long.
Mm.
Now, that is the truth. You don't have to deal with it, but you'll get the shock of your life if you're 70 and think, well, yesterday I was 21. And then you go to 80 and you think, I was just 35.
Mm.
And then you begin to figure out, finally, that life is half as long as you thought it would be. I don't know where we get the idea that 90 years is a long time. It is not. I would say to you, when you are 80 or you're 90, you'll look back and say, my best calculations, not by the calendar, but just by my feelings, I've only been around about 40 years. That's the first thing I would say to everybody in the audience. You are not running by your perceived clock. You're dealing with a clock that is running twice as fast as you think it does. And I would say this to all of you. For pity's sake, make it count. I watch people every day of my life wasting their lives. They have a job, they go to work, they'll retire, they'll hope financially that the world will not come to an end, and that they will be able to then retire, watch television, and then die a peaceful, kindly life. It doesn't work that way. I would share this with all of you. As to stars in the heavens, the best calculations is that the first step in creation is probably 10 to 20 trillion years ago. As to our galaxy, it's probably no more than 3 million years old. As to the human being, from Christians who watch these things, probably the human race started no more than 250,000 years ago. Now that's in defiance of evolution, but it's becoming more and more acceptable in the scientific community that man suddenly appeared out of nowhere. If that's true, then we've got trillions of years to live about 70 or 80 of those years are ours. Of the those that are in our galaxy, just 9 planets out here, or some people say 8. We've been here as a species probably no more than 200,000 years. And if we are more interested in the accuracy of the Bible, perhaps we've only been here 10 to 20,000 years. It's time to make a contribution in your life that is more than just getting a job, going to work, and watching television until you die. That's about as senseless as it can be. 70 or 80 years. Sir, get a wiggle on it. Make a contribution. Find something that's new and needy. Address it and give your life to it. Apart from your job, apart from your family, and leave something here that you did with bravery and honesty, something that will lift the load of someone else or give clarity to the lives of those coming. I am now in Century 21, I think of 22 years this century has lived. Good night. That means there are only 80 years left in this century. It's already burning up right here in front of me. Everything that I write, everything that I put in public will be at war with everything that we Christians are doing. I declare war on Century 21, and I'm going to make that as clear as I can in a moment. And that brings us to number 2. And I think I'm going to shock the living daylights at every Christian. Well, somebody is already reaching for his Bible and his shotgun. This man is a liberal. Sir, I am a conservative Christian, dyed in the will, word, in the scripture, and I believe every word in it. But, sir, the biggest and the greatest favor you could ever do yourself is never pick up or read a present-day version of the New Testament. Now I am at this moment declaring war on the most sacred trust we've got, and you never even heard of it. The arrangement of the letters in the New Testament. This has never been addressed in 1800 years. The arrangement of the New Testament, as you have been reading it, is an absolute insane. It has no known arrangement to it. It is seemingly, it's simply madness. Now, I'm going to prove that right now on this radio station with Jonathan having apoplexy. All right.
When you
turn to the New Testament letters, what's the first letter you read?
Matthew.
It's Romans. Mm. I have stood in a room, a very, very big room, that has, as far as they know, the largest collection of Bible commentaries the world's ever seen or known. And every one of those 22 letters of your New Testament will start with Romans. I walked up and down that aisle trying to find a New Testament letters. You know, it's the Gospels, the four Gospels. It's Acts, and then it's 22 letters. That's how we divide every commentary that's ever been written. If you don't know that, then accept it. We have been doing this for 1,800 years. We have been reading the letters in total, absolute chaos. What is the first letter ever written? Did you know I've been asking that question since I was 28 years old? And nobody has ever given me an answer that even gets close. I've never read it in print. I've never heard a man address it. The day we are given a New Testament, we turn to the 22 letters, and we start reading Romans. It was 1,800 years with no known sanity that the letters got arranged the way they are. But every Bible commentary that you have ever read or seen or heard about starts those 22 letters with Romans. Why? Nobody has the foggiest idea. It took me an entire lifetime to find an old gentleman who was an antique, ancient scholar who actually knew how our New Testament got arranged. And it was scandalous. I am hoping and praying and asking God by the year, century 21, year 60, that there will not be a single New Testament being printed.
You're almost out of time.
Starting off the letters with Romans. The oldest first letter ever written is Galatians. The second one, grab your pen, is a letter to the city of Thessalonica, the Christians who met there. Two letters. What's next? The next thing is 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And after that comes Romans, the sixth, not the first, letter. I will release a book that tells the entire story of 1,800 years ago why our New Testament letters, 22 of them, got arranged in such utter chaos. And yet no one has ever questioned, when we get that New Testament in our hands, we begin reading the letters as Romans. Now, how would you like to pick up a history of America, and first chapter is World War II?
That'd be a little confusing.
What you're doing when you read the present arrangement of the letters. Ah! When do you mean to tell me that I am going to be reading the sixth chapter of the history of the American people? I'm going to start off with World War II. Oh, it gets better, sir. Then you're going to read the Depression. Then you're going to read World War I. And then, you know what you're going to read? The Discovery of America.
Yes.
Yes. That is the order in which you have been reading the letters of the New Testament. John Wesley accepted the arrangement of the New Testament. So did some fellow by the name of Goodnight. Who is the reformer?
Martin Luther.
And the most influential man that I know of in modern times is John Nelson Darby, who is actually more influential. And I mean, he said, you go read Romans because that's where God put it. And then you read a letter that is called not only out of order, but you read a letter of the New Testament that was written before Romans, and another one written before Romans. So you're going through from Romans to 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, both of which were written before.
We have about 1 minute left.
Okay.
We're running out of time. So.
No, that's all I have to say.
Where's the book? When can we expect the book?
That book will be out in the next year, and I am asking all of you to get a copy of it and find out the arrangement of the chronological arrangement of the letters of the New Testament, and read them, and they'll blow your mind.
Do you have a name for the book?
No, I'm going to leave that to Jonathan. Jonathan, I'll send you the